All right, well, today we are looking at Luke 19. If you'd open your Bibles to Luke 19. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 about a man named Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Oh. Before we read the scripture, I want to... Let me see if you recognize this. So everybody ready? Because you're going to want to respond. Okay, but you got to be ready. It's really important that you're ready. Not it. Okay. Yeah, what's that from? Tag or hide and seek, right, when we were kids, playing that. And so in hide and seek, I loved hide and seek when I was a kid because I was pretty good at it. There was a ton of games I'm not good at, but I was pretty good at hide and seek. I think part of the reason was I was like super skinny. And so I could hide behind a telephone pole and nobody could see me because I didn't stick out. I was just really little. So it was good. I was also kind of sneaky. Like sometimes I would actually come out and pretend like I'd already been found. We'd play like teams sometimes, like the IT team. And I'd just kind of walk around like, then they think somebody got me, but nobody had, you know, I'd just be hiding in plain sight. So I was kind of sneaky that way. Another way that I was good at hide and seek was I was like a little monkey climbing trees. I love to climb trees, which is weird because I don't really like heights that much, but I just loved to climb trees when I was a kid. It was funny, sometimes in the late evening, a little bit of a rabbit trail, but my brother or one of my siblings would realize I wasn't in my bedroom when I was really little and I was supposed to be, and so they knew, like, if I wasn't in my bedroom, go outside and look in a tree. So, like at night, I would go out and just look at the stars and hang out, like, in the top of a tree somewhere, like a little monkey, but... You know, when we are our kids and we're playing hide and seek, hiding is a good thing if you're not it, right? You don't want to be it. You want to hide really well and not be found. In the Bible, though, we see that, you know, the God of the universe is a God who is always it, right? He's always seeking. He's always looking for people who are hiding from him. And it's very serious. You know, it's not a game to hide from God. It's a very serious matter. I think in some sense, you know, I heard it a couple times this morning already that even as believers, we try to hide parts of ourselves from God. And I think we compartmentalize. We compartmentalize not only what we're honest with God about, but we compartmentalize even what we trust God with sometimes. It's like there's a line actually in the most recent season of The Chosen, which I thought was great, where they're talking about, I think about Lazarus being brought back, and Jesus says, I'm glad, you know, that I wasn't there so that to help you believe. And one of the disciples says to Mary Magdalene, we already believe. And she said, not all of us believe him for everything. And I thought, that's very true. Not all of us believe. We believe, you know, even as the body of Christ, we believe, but we don't all believe him for everything that he can do and everything that he is. There's a sense in which we maybe hide some unbelief that we don't want to bring to the surface. But today we're going to look at Zacchaeus and look at this example of somebody who was hiding not really just in a tree. I mean, he went up in the tree to look for Jesus, right, to see Jesus, but hiding in a life of wealth, hiding in a lifestyle that was really turned away from God, that was probably corrupt, hiding from God. So just the setting here, Jesus is approaching, he's going toward Jerusalem, he's going through Jericho, and this is just a little ways, if I got my directions, northeast of Jerusalem, and it's about a week before his leaving this world, so it's the final days, and Zacchaeus, this is one of the last people that we see in Scripture coming to Jesus during Jesus' ministry, but I think he's a great example of God's power changing somebody, working in their life. So let's look at Luke 19, starting here in verse number 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." First thing I'd like us to recognize this morning from the text, Zacchaeus knew that he needed change. Specifically, he needed to be changed. Zacchaeus knew he needed change. You know, by the world's standards, Zacchaeus had a lot going for him. He had status, he had position, he had a job that provided wealth for him. I don't know that it was meant to provide wealth, probably just a living, but if you were crooked, you could acquire quite a bit of wealth from kickbacks and things as a tax collector, so he was probably dishonest because he was so wealthy. But he lacked inner peace, he lacked dignity, he lacked character, he lacked self-respect, and I'm sure he was miserable in a lot of ways. You know, I think about that realization, that need for change, and I think it goes back to the beginning, back with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, the Bible says, because they recognized something was off, right? When they sinned, they got fig leaves and they sewed those together, they made loincloths, and they tried to cover themselves because they were ashamed. They knew that something was wrong with them. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." That's one of my favorite lines in Genesis. It's so beautiful, meant for fellowship with God in the garden. But, and this is the tragic part, they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man, "Where are you?" I think there's something in our nature that when we are sinful, we want to hide from God. Instead of being honest, and you know, they were meant to, I think probably up until that moment when sin entered in, they probably ran to God. You know, I love it when I see my little grandkids, and fortunately, they're not old enough to where the hormones had kicked in yet, to where they're like in full-blown craziness, but they still like run to me. It's really cool. And they're like, "Papa," and they run, and they're all excited, and they're smiling, and it's so cool. And I think that's probably what Adam and Eve did, you know, when God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they were like, "Lord, you're here." And they would run to him and just rejoice and be so overwhelmed with gladness. And here they are hiding from the Lord. And I think that's probably what was going on with Zacchaeus, because that's what people do. You know, he's hiding in a career, he's hiding in money, he's hiding in status, he's trying to just not get real with God, and he knows something's really wrong. And when we do that, when we try to hide in other things instead of coming to the Lord like we're supposed to and walking with him, there's a shame that comes with that hiding. There's a guilt and a weightiness to that. And yet the text says, Jesus is looking. He's looking for Zacchaeus. You know, maybe you had a place in your life where you tried to entrust your identity to other things, you know, to wealth or career or even religion or different things, you know, maybe to love or relationships. I think back to that old Beatles song, "Money Can't Buy Me Love." You guys remember that? Yeah. It can't buy you peace either. You know, it can't buy you anything that's really worthwhile. God uses so many different means to bring us to a place of honesty about our need for him. And sometimes it's just his love and kindness, and sometimes it's consequences and guilt and shame. But ignoring God, it just never works. Jonathan Edwards, when he was a young man, one of the great men of the spiritual awakening in the colonial times, I want to share this with you this morning. 19 years old, writing in his diary. And he wrote, "Resolved that all men should live to the glory of God." Like, wow, what a statement for a 19-year-old. What an awesome, powerful truth. All men should live their lives for the glory of God. And then I like his follow-up to that. Resolved, second, that whether others do or not, I will. But man, that is so powerful. And we are meant to live for the glory of God. We're not meant to run from him. Second thing to recognize today, Zacchaeus decided to take a look at Jesus. He probably had outwardly a life that looked successful, but inwardly he knew that there was something wrong, something that needed to be changed, and he'd heard about Jesus. We don't know what he heard, but he heard enough. He heard enough that he was turning in that direction, turning away from self and turning to know Jesus. I want to see Jesus, he thought. You know, maybe he heard that Jesus was loving towards tax collectors, and not too many people were. You know, maybe he heard that Jesus was a wise rabbi. Maybe he heard that Jesus did miracles. We really don't know. We know that Jesus was accused of being, rightfully so, a friend of sinners. I find that just amazing, that statement, because it's true. You know, Jesus is a friend of sinners. And people would use truth. I don't think they were speaking truth in love toward Jesus, right? It wasn't like, Jesus is so awesome, he's a friend of sinners. No, they were making an accusation. But maybe Zacchaeus had heard that and he was curious. And he was willing to do something amazing. He was willing to do whatever it took to see Jesus. And what it took for him was to do something maybe a little embarrassing and climb a tree. So he knows Jesus is coming. He goes up into this tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He came down at once and what? He welcomed him gladly. He welcomed him. He welcomed Jesus. The third point today we need to recognize, Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus eagerly and joyfully. What an awesome day for Zacchaeus. Up until that moment, hated, despised, rejected by the people around him, and now he is found by Jesus and forgiven and loved and given the grace of God. Can you imagine? Everybody, all eyes are on Jesus, right? And Zacchaeus, everybody's wondering, what's Jesus going to do with this tax collector? And I think probably what they expected was what most rabbis would do in that situation. They would start yelling at Zacchaeus, you low-down sinner, now you're really in for it. The rabbi is going to set you straight, you know? And they're looking for condemnation. They're looking, he's going to get a good dose of guilt and shame, and Jesus is going to really... Because that's what Zacchaeus deserves, right? He's a sinner. So how did Jesus handle Zacchaeus? He loved him. He welcomed him. He accepted him. He said, come down. Let's get rid of the distance between us here. Come down. Join me here. I'm going to your house. Let's hang out at your house today. You know, we don't know the details of all their conversation, but we know from the text where it ends. It ends in salvation. And it tells me something about Zacchaeus, that if Zacchaeus came to salvation, he was done trying to justify his sin. See, that's what we do when we're hiding from God. We try to justify the sin in our lives, and I think he was done with that. He didn't try to argue with Jesus, I'm sure. He was willing to just come clean. Lord, you know who I am, and I'm so glad that you love me anyway. And he was ready to be changed. So in the presence of all these people, and this was the presence of people who weren't for Zacchaeus. He's in the presence of people who are against him. In the presence of all these people, he gladly welcomes Jesus. Fourth thing to recognize today, Zacchaeus gave evidence that his heart had been changed. He gave evidence that his heart had been changed. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, and he had, I will pay back four times the amount. You know, sometimes I think that because it's not easy to be honest with God, it's painful to be honest about our sin. Sometimes people try to do with God what I did as a sneaky little kid, played hide and seek, pretending I'd already been found. You know, just walking around like, yeah, I don't need to hide. And maybe we do that with our talk, you know, yeah, I've been found, or we change our outward behavior, but on the inside, maybe our heart hasn't really been changed. But ideally, you know, there is a change in behaviors, there is outward change, but it has to do with what's going on the inside. That we've humbled our hearts before God, and we've gotten honest about our sinfulness, and we've gotten honest about His ability to save us. But it's a process. You know, our lives should show proof that Jesus is exactly who He says He is. That He is an awesome Redeemer who works powerfully in people's lives, that He makes them sons and daughters of God, and people should see the evidence of that. But it's a process. It doesn't happen instantly. But it should happen over time. There should be change in our lives. A quote from Keith Robinson. He wrote a book titled The Encourager, and he said, "When God wanted to authenticate Himself to the ancient world, He called His nation Israel as a witness." You know, God does the same thing today. When God wants to authenticate Himself, if He wants to reveal, hey, I am who I am, I am God, I am the sovereign of this universe, He does that by having witnesses whose lives show that it's true. That people can see the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we have changed lives. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 9 and 10, the Lord said, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from the ancient of days, I am He. Not one can deliver out of my hand when I act. Who can reverse it?" Just as the people of Israel were to be the undeniable proof that God is exactly who He says He is, as His bride, as the bride of Christ, we are to be the undeniable, not perfect proof, but the undeniable proof that God is who He says He is. That He is a God of divine, redeeming love and power and holiness who saves. And we're to look like it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter wrote, "For His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." The proof of God's presence in the world is a changed life. And I want every part of my life to be part of the evidence. I'm not there yet. I am not there yet, but I want to be. I think that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to look deeply and to reveal truth to us about our attitudes, about our habits, about our thoughts, about our lifestyle, about our feelings, emotions, and anything that doesn't look like Jesus, as we sang earlier. You know, I want more of Him in me. But we have to not hide things. We have to run to Him with what doesn't look like Him.
That's right.
With the things that are not of Him, and to hand Him that He wants those things. And when we do that, He gives beauty for our ashes, for our grief over our sin. And He works for our benefit. He gives assurance of His saving love for us. Fifth thing to recognize today, Zacchaeus received the most necessary assurance of salvation. Zacchaeus received the most necessary assurance of salvation. Does anybody know what the most necessary assurance of salvation is? Even more than our changed life? Jesus said so. If Jesus says, I will give you my grace, turn away from sin and darkness, turn to me in faith, and you will be saved, you will be forgiven and free, sealed with his Spirit, guaranteed eternal life. If we take Jesus at his word, that Jesus said it, he is the Son of God who only speaks truth, and I stand upon what he says, that's the greatest assurance of all, the word of God. You know, there are times that as much as I, you know, we need to look at our lives. We need to be real. And if there's something that falls short, you know, it should concern us. And we need to deal with those things. But at the end of the day, it's not my refraining from bad things that saves me. It's not my doing good things that saves me. It's him. It's who he is and what he has done. And it's believing him. It's trusting him. That's the greatest assurance of all, that he is the truth-telling God. And Jesus said so was enough, that we believe him about himself. We believe him about us. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to save, to bring hope to anybody who would welcome him, who would receive him. Zacchaeus was a bad man. I mean, I know we just have a glimpse of him here. He's the wee little guy in the tree, and it all sounds cute. You know? He was a bad guy. He was a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. He was hated for a reason. He was a very bad man. He was a sinner. And yet he didn't hesitate to take Jesus up on that invitation. Come to me, Zacchaeus. Come out of that tree. Let's hang out together. Let's abide. Let's go to your house. Zacchaeus gladly welcomed him. He took Jesus at his word. He stopped hiding. Stopped hiding behind his career and his wealth. And he looked to Jesus and he received life and peace and joy. Christ is offering that to everybody. Yeah, I think much like our ancestors, much like Adam and Eve, we're people who want to hide. We want to run from God. We want to try to hide in the trees or sew together a fix of good deeds. You know, we want to do things to try to just hide from God. But God's invitation always is, stop hiding. Come to me. Whatever it is you're hiding from him. And that's not just for those who are unsaved. That's for his kids. That's for believers. You know, I believe based on the word of God that Adam and Eve are going to be in heaven because they did trust in him. Will I see Adam and Eve in heaven? I will if I'm there, because they're going to be there. Yeah. Jesus is the God who came to seek. And it doesn't matter how good you think you are at hiding, he sees you. You know, he sees you right where you are today. He sees me. He sees me better than I see myself. And his invitation of kindness and mercy is, stop hiding. Come to me. And we can run to him gladly, even in our imperfection, even in our sin, even in our guilt, and say, we welcome you, Jesus. I welcome you, Jesus. Come into my house today. Change me. Bring hope. Bring change, bring peace, bring holiness, bring righteousness, bring everything I can't bring. And His answer is yes. He wants to do that. Let's pray. Our Father, You are so merciful and so gracious. And we are so silly as to try to hide from You sometimes, as if we ever could. Thank You in Your mercy that You seek us. And You find us, and You save us. And You give us assurance that every blood-bought promise in the Word of God is true for us. You are a God who redeems. You are a God who takes those who are enslaved by sin, helpless and hopeless, and You set them free. And then You tell us to walk in freedom. And You call us Your own. Lord, we confess we're so quick to believe the lies of the accuser sometimes, because he says things that are true about us, things that we don't want to hear. And we buy into that instead of buying into the greater promise that You are greater than our sin. That You have authority over everything that easily ensnares us. And we don't answer to the enemy, we answer to You. You are our Creator, You are our Father, You're our Savior, You're our King, You're our Groom. And we're so thankful for Your grace today. We're so thankful, Lord, for the cross. Thank You. Lord, we pray for those who are really trying hard to hide today. For people who are running from You, running into the darkness because they don't want to bring who they are into the light, God. And we pray by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, bring them into the light. Help them to see Jesus. And Lord, for all of us today, Lord, we would be more like You. Help us be like Zacchaeus, Lord, that if there's anything that we're hiding, maybe some unforgiveness, maybe some anger or lust or greed, whatever it might be, Lord, help us to run to You with that and to know that You are not waiting to condemn. You're waiting to heal and to forgive, because that's the kind of God You are. Thank You for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.